Tech of Sports, episode 76, Kyle Krabs of NDT Scouting. This week on the Tech of Sports, Kyle Krabs. Just want to let you know that Netcast Studio has many other shows and a lot of great content you can listen to anytime and online. Go over to netcaststudio.com and check it all out. Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Tech of Sports is also a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Listen to the show, chat. The next day you can download, and the show will be streaming. You can also get the embed code for the show at netcaststudio.com. And we're approaching the NFL draft very quickly, so we thought we would talk a little draft tonight and maybe a little behind-the-scenes draft with a guy who runs a scouting service and a scouting website. It's Kyle Krabs, and it's NDT Scouting. And Kyle's impartial. It's an independent NFL scouting service that he runs, and he's in the business of evaluating college players that are looking to make it in the NFL. Kyle's a member of the Pro Football Writers Association and has been scouting the NFL draft since 2010. He's also a featured writer on NFLDraftBible.com, and his website is NDTScouting.com. And Kyle, thanks for taking time out. It's your busy time of the year and coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm in that luxurious point where we got that two-week layover where my evaluations are finished. So now it's just sitting here waiting for the draft to finally come.
Is that the hardest part? Does it seem that the first part of the year seems to go pretty quick when you have you have combines and then workouts and then pro days at colleges? Now where the teams are, I guess, doing their due diligence and their last minute preparations and maybe preparing to see if they want to trade up or down. So these last couple of weeks is a time for you to catch your breath, but it's a little tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's challenging, but it's a different kind of challenging than, you know, you go throughout the entire season and you're watching 5-6 games a weekend and you're DVRing teams and games to watch during the week. And then you get to January and suddenly there's 2 weeks off, and then you got all-star games, and then you got another 2 weeks off and you get the combine, and then pro days start kicking off another 3 weeks later. So it's just one domino kind of falls after the next. And for somebody who's not preparing a draft board, it's that time to stop and catch your breath. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was curious, how do you watch a game maybe that you DVR? Do you watch the game all the way through? Are you constantly hitting the fast forward button and maybe just looking at certain players maybe that are on your radar as draft prospects? Or are you just watching the game in its entirety and checking to see who might catch your attention?
Typically, the mentality that I try and have going into a game is I'll pick out a player on each side of the ball and for a specific team, and I'll watch that specific player. I do take notes during the game of the live action, but I only watch the recording once through when it's live. And then once I've got time during the week, then I can double back and I can actually look in depth on multiple players on the same unit. Because there's just so much going on, it's physically impossible for you to process all the information that there is to take in on any particular play.
And do you have the volume off, or are you listening to what the broadcasters are saying as well?
I'm going to have to make an admission, depending on who's announcing. I might turn it off, but I don't mind the background volume of a good, well-called football game. So it's not distracting because I'm so honed in specifically on a particular player.
And what's your background? Were you a football player, maybe the son of a coach, or kind of how did you get interested and get into it a little bit?
I've dabbled in a couple different areas of the sport. I originally was a player all the way up through high school. I unfortunately got injured my senior year of high school, ended up dropping 40 pounds with a upper body muscle injury. I wasn't allowed to do any resistance training for 4 months. So no one wants a linebacker coming out of high school that weighs 165 pounds, unfortunately.
Yeah, I
missed the boat as far as walking on. Yeah, so I missed the boat as far as playing in college. Took a couple years, got myself healthy. I played a couple years of semi-pro. I also coached for a number of years as well in that time frame. And it was just, this was the next step in the process of staying relevant and being a part of something that I'm so passionate about.
Yeah, you were forced to make a little bit of a detour there, but you had the background and you had you know, probably some football instincts that that help you with looking at players now. And sometimes, you know, people like you that were forced out of the game, you kind of get a new appreciation of it and a new viewpoint of it, where you can pick out certain things that players are doing and aren't doing, and make evaluations on that. I think that's that maybe was to your advantage.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've always looked at for myself was I was never the most talented football player. Where I had to make my hay as a player was being smart, football instincts, and being fundamentally sound. So those are things that I really pride myself on, my football IQ, when I'm watching and doing my evaluations, is I'm very tuned into the technical side of the game, the little things that people might miss that I have a greater appreciation for, because I recognize as a player how hard it is sometimes to be efficient in those areas.
You founded NDT Draft Scouting. Take us through how that came to be and give us a little overview of the service.
Well, I'm actually very blessed. I am colleagues with somebody who did this for several years, and they actually made the big time jump into the NFL as a scout. And this person kind of made a note to me, kind of pulled me aside and said, hey, you know, if this is something you want to do, having talked football with you, you can do this. You just have to put the legwork in. So getting that kind of affirmation from somebody who had made the jump into this goal that I have for myself, it was just a matter of when the time was right for me to be able to set aside all of this time so that I could do it right. Because I didn't want to do it halfway and then start and stop or do half effort for my evaluations. If I was going to do something like this and put together a publication, I didn't want to put out something with 75 players. And this was the first year I really had the opportunity, since I've gone in depth with my evaluations, to really go all in. And I managed to watch film on over 350 players this year.
Yeah, we'll go through your draft guide here in a little bit. But just kind of give us your impressions right now of how, what the 2014 draft is going to be like, and just maybe your impressions heading into it.
I think the overall depth for this year's class is really, really good, but it is by no means top heavy. When I look at this year's class, I only see 52 players that received first or second round values for me. That's a little bit short of the 64 picks that are going to go in the first two rounds. Going up the ladder a little bit more, I only see 18 first round valued players. When I say valued players, I like to emphasize value, because there is a difference between a player's value and a player's projection. There are going to be 32 first round picks, but not all of those 32, based on my evaluations, are going to be good value.
Sure.
You get a ton of value late in day two, so round three, and the beginning of day three, which would be round four. It's just absolutely loaded. And it has this domino effect where as you get deeper and deeper into day three in rounds four, five, six, and seven, there's going to be a lot of good football players left. So there might be some names that kind of end up sliding down the list that people are surprised that they're still on the board.
Give us an idea of maybe the tools of the trade that you use when you're watching a game. Are you sitting with a laptop in front of you, maybe an iPad or note-taking device? Kind of give us an idea of what's around you when you're watching a game or evaluating a game.
I like to have a spreadsheet open. I currently am operating off of just a basic netbook, so I've got an extension for Microsoft Office with spreadsheets, and I'll utilize that because I'll take those player notes and I'll directly copy them into my master list, because every prospect that I have has their own column on this spreadsheet that I've put together. Includes their game-by-game notes, their particulars of their plus and minus for what they do well at that position specifically, make some statistic notes as well. So I do keep it just on a keyboard, but the pace of the game, there's only a couple teams that run it so quickly in between plays that it gives me trouble getting all my thoughts down on pen and paper.
When you're watching a game, have you ever sat and you're looking at maybe one or two players, like you said you normally do, but somebody else maybe jumped out at you and that kind of caught your your attention, so you maybe made plans in the future or right then to start taking some notes and maybe check out what that guy was doing?
Absolutely. I try to maintain as much commitment to the player that I set out to evaluate. But if he's having a difficult game and you keep seeing the same guy around the football, if it's a defensive side or the same guy's consistently burning coverage on the offensive side, I do get to a point where I allow my eyes to wander a little bit. I'll make some outside notes if possible. That's the luxury of when they do instant replays on important plays. And if they go back through and take a look, I do take that opportunity to look specifically, and I will make a handful of smaller notes on a player that keeps popping on me for good or bad reasons.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea, and I'm glad you do that. And we're with Kyle Crabb from ndtscouting.com. We're going to take a quick break here for our presenting sponsor here at the network. It's Amazon, amazon.com. I just want to let all the listeners know, if you're doing any shopping on Amazon this spring, summer, or fall, you can use the affiliate link here at the studio, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, for any and all of your needs. So that would include Mother's Day, which is coming up, Father's Day, graduations, and weddings that'll be happening all over the place this spring and summer. So that link is netcaststudio.com/Amazon. And also, we're also a member of the Amazon Trade-In Program, where you can trade in your old and used electronics, books, movies, music, and get cash for it, or get something for it. You can get an instant quote, and then you also get free shipping for your items. You get paid with Amazon gift cards is the best way to go. And the Netcast Studio link for that is netcaststudio.com/trade-in. So if you're looking to get something for your old devices that are laying around in the drawer or on the floor, as they are in my office, go to netcaststudio.com/trade-in. And back with Kyle Crabb here. Kyle, your front and center on your website is your 2014 draft guide. Give us an idea of what that includes and involves, and how long did it take you to finalize that and get that together?
Oh, well, that second half of that question, somebody actually asked me that a couple weeks ago, and I actually went back and did the math. This has just over 950 hours compiled in total, as far as the publishing and writing and, you know, getting all the players together. So it's really been a labor of love, but it's over 350 pages in total. As I previously said, I watched over 350 players. I gave 327 players this year a draftable grade. If you go back and look at the number of picks, there's 255. So just to give you an idea, there's a little over 70 players that, in my evaluations, just grading them in a vacuum would be worth a pick at some point, that just are going to not end up. And part of that's because of just how many underclassmen declared this year. There were over 100, which set a record for underclassmen declarations. But the draft guide in total, fully comprehensive big board. I do my evaluations on a numeral scale out of 9 points. The big board's listed from ascending to descending. Higher your number, the higher valued you are. I took some time to highlight 10 of the best small school prospects with some bigger potential. I do take some time to explain how my grading is done. It's in-depth. It takes into account 5 factors, size, experience, production, athleticism, and obviously the talent portion, which is what you watch on film. The weight is heavily geared towards the talent portion because it is the most important, but there are teams that take into account all of those other variables. So I thought it was important to get the most full picture of a prospect as possible. I take some time in the draft guide to go through a 4-round mock draft. Trying to project is impossible. So the mentality that I took was, if I was using my board and I was making the decision for each of the teams, who would I take at that slot? And it came out with some really interesting results for draft classes through 4 rounds. So it was fun. And that's what a mock draft should be, because there's no way you're going to be able to simulate what it is. And then the rest going down through each position, it's got a ranking page that shows all the players that were evaluated in the guide, ascending to descending order. And then each player has their own individual page just dedicated to their own scouting report.
Yeah, very in-depth draft guide and some great reading and a great reference tool as people get ready to have their draft parties and plunk down for days and watch the NFL draft. And it's available at ndtscouting.com. Is it available anywhere else as well?
Not this year. There was some internal debate about making a hard copy available through a retailer, but just for our first year to keep publishing costs down, to get this out to as many people as possible, it is just a PDF file available. If you place an order at ndtscouting.com, there's a PayPal button there. Your order is placed. I receive a notification, and the guide itself is $10. So mm-hmm. I think it's pretty fair value when you compare it to some of the other guides out there. I think it's a very fair price, competitive price, just to get it out there and get people reading. I'll receive a notification with a purchase, and then I will manually myself physically send each person their own guide.
That's manually done, not automated, so you know they get it. And what kind of feedback have you gotten from people that have taken a look at it? And is it mostly fans that have been ordering it from you?
The feedback's been overwhelmingly positive. I took the opportunity to share with several media members, a couple higher ups, if you will, and the kickback that I got was very positive. I've sold about 220 copies at this point, I believe, five countries. So it's very surreal to be sending out these emails to these different addresses with addresses that are different countries. But it's been really positive feedback. You know, you get a couple exchanges with emails with people that you send it to or asking specific questions, specific mm-hmm. players. So it's been fun to get some interaction, but I really haven't gotten anybody say anything poor about the guide. They might question my evaluation on a player or two, but the guide itself, the response has been very, very positive.
Great. Great. Good to hear that, because, you know, a lot of work went into it. And, you know, when you look at the draft, the player's height and weight and, you know, what they lift in that is pretty much set in stone. That you can't argue with that. But everything else when it comes to an NFL draft or a draft in any sport is subjective. So it's going to have some of your own views and your own opinions in there. And that's really why people are buying it. I think they're not buying it to get the height and weight of a player. You can find that out anywhere. So, you know, a good educated evaluation of a player and an opinion is really what they're paying for. And that's great to hear. And let's talk about a couple, some players and some aspects of players right now. You can, like I said, you can measure certain things about a player, but how do you go about, there's always that certain one player or a few players that may not grade out that well, may not be the strongest and quickest, but they just have, you know, people call it it. They have something that allows them to be successful and play the game and usually be on a winning team and contribute. How do you rate those players, or what's your opinion on those players that just seem to have that intangible that makes them going to stick on a team somewhere?
As I mentioned, when I'm grading on five variables, I do tend to shift the weight as far towards the film without totally negating the others as possible. So if a player just has it, they don't have size, they might not athletically test very well. Unless they are very poor in all four of the other categories, usually that talent score, which is their film grade, is enough to prop them up where the only deviation you're really going to get is maybe half a round. So if a player pops on film with their talent, usually 9 times out of 10, that is the ballpark that player will end up sticking in. So the film grade is hands down the most important aspect of any evaluation.
Now, for the players, is it the most important thing for them which team actually drafts them, where they fit? Are they in the right circumstance? Are they playing for the right coach? From the player's point of view, what's the most important factor for them?
Absolutely. I'm a very firm believer that you can take the best football player available, but if he does not fit what you do and you as a coach, as a team, are not willing to be flexible with what it is that you do, you are setting that player up for failure. And you have to be able to set your players up for success. And it sounds really simple, but there's a reason why there are some teams that just don't get it year in and year out. That's because they don't put their players in a position to succeed. And then that player, after their contract expires, runs out and they go somewhere else. and suddenly they're given the opportunity to do the things that they do well, and you finally see this player flourish.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's those teams year after year that get the players that fit their system, and they have stability, and those players seem to do well with that team, maybe overachieve from what some people think. And I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, and I think the Packers do a great job at keeping their system intact and getting players they plug in that fill those needs and mesh with the system.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's two ways to look at that. There's teams that get the most value that you can get on the board. It's a point that I made earlier was you have to get value for your selections. So there's those teams like the Baltimore Ravens and Ozzie Newsome who, you know, they move all around the board, but they recognize on their board there might only be one player left that's worth the range of picks that you're selecting. And so you got to do what it has to do to either go up and get that player or be willing to slide back from the slot that you have on later because the value's not going to line up. And there's other teams that, you know, they factor in appropriately what it is that they do into their evaluations. And they're not afraid to go against the grain to make a selection that fits their value for their scheme. A good example of that would be the Cowboys last year selecting the center, Travis Swanson, in the first round. Pretty much a consensus day two player, but they took him at the end of the first round because he was good value, and he ended up being a very productive player for them this past year.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go through a couple individual players here and just get a quick sentence or two on them. And the guy who many predict will be the number one pick, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, what's your opinion on him? Let's talk about him maybe the first year as a pro, and then maybe down the road, is he going to kind of guy that's going to keep getting better and better if he's on the right team?
To keep it brief, It's impressive how good Clowney is considering just how raw he is technically. I think his first year, if you are a little bit more selective and move him around to give him chances to be successful with mismatches, give him 2 years of coaching and he's going to be an extremely good football player.
Okay, good to hear, because I wish the best for him. He's just a big lot of question marks. A guy that you have on one of your top quarterbacks, A.J. McCarron.
McCarron, I don't see great upside with. I think he's someone who's best suited to be a supplemental quarterback as a depth player. He didn't get rushed and pressured very often at Alabama. He had the luxury of such a strong supporting cast offensively and a run game around him. But anytime he got pressure, he had a very bad tendency of fading away from throws. And it had a very significant impact on his ability to get strength on the ball and his accuracy.
Aaron Murray at Georgia. What do you think of him?
Murray's a little bit more polished than McCarron. He was leaned on to do much more at Georgia than McCarron was at Alabama. I see a lot of similarities between him and Andy Dalton, as they both are a little bit smaller body guys. They're able athletically, but they don't have great arm strength. And even though they're fundamentally sound, they don't have great accuracy. They make their receivers work to catch more passes than they should. So he could be a spot starter, but with his knee injury, I do think he gets dragged down into day three.
Oh, day three. Okay. I mean, I didn't watch a fraction of what you've watched and watch it the way you do. But anytime I watched this one particular quarterback play a little bit under the radar, I was every time I watched him, I was impressed. And I really see pro quarterback potential in him. And it's Sean Mannion from Oregon State.
Mannion's actually not coming out this year.
Oh, he's not. Sorry. He's a junior.
But he is a guy that I did like quite a bit at Oregon State. I will say that he caught my eye a number of times. I watched him play several times live on television, And he popped every single time.
Yeah, me too. I don't know why I had him as coming out. Sorry about that. A good preview for next year.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm impressed by him a lot. So, good information. And Kyle, if people want to get a hold of you, the website is ndtscouting.com. How can they get a hold of you and follow what else you have going on?
I am available on Twitter. My handle is at NFL Draft Tracker. NDT is what NDT is short for, is NFL Draft Tracker. So you can find me on Twitter at NFL Draft Tracker. Also a syndicate writer at NFL Draft Bible. I have a number of pieces there that are very interesting. And like you said, NDT Scouting. I will be updating that with all my latest content on the homepage. There's a column on the left-hand side. A lot of fun articles that came out the last week comparing the big boards and looking for a statistical relationship between the big boards of all the big networks, ESPN, NFL Network, and I actually found one. So it's an interesting read. I highly recommend you guys go take a couple minutes and take a look at that and just distinguish, you know, who are your actual analysts and who are your forecasters who are trying to just project and get the pick right instead of getting the projection of the player right.
And will you be doing some immediate analysis during the draft days on maybe certain picks or trades or surprises? Will that be going up on the site?
I will be very active on the draft days, both through social networking on Twitter, and I plan, once the draft is over, to put together several pieces of overall draft class analysis.
Great. Looking forward to that. Kyle Crabb from NDTScouting.com. And Kyle, I was asking on the Tech of Sports here one last question of all my guests. What's the one piece of technology that you can't live without in this day and age?
Oh, my iPhone, hands down. I'm always on my iPhone, utilizing social networking to interact with fans of teams and other media players. It's what I'm doing this call on right now. So it gives you a little bit of perspective on just how reliant I am absolutely on my iPhone.
Your life is on that iPhone and a bunch of information too, I'm sure.
Heck yes.
Kyle, thanks for coming on. You're a great follow on Twitter, and appreciate the information coming on the Tech of Sports. And I invite everyone to check out ndtscouting.com. Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. And just want to let all the other listeners know that Netcast Studio has many other shows, which you can check out at netcaststudio.com, and also the podcast directory set up by the people at Netcast Studio. It's twothumbsupmedia.com, where you can check out new content, new shows. You know, you discover new shows, things maybe you've never heard of before, and there's really a show on that directory for any interest you have. So just want to let everyone know you've been listening to the Tech of Sports, a Netcast Studio production.